popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along. It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta back with you this week. Welcome along once again.
Thanks for having me again, Brett. I'm glad I got the invite back into the studio three times in a row now, three fortnights in a row. It means well, we must be doing something.
Right? We've got the set roster now between yourself and Ben, hopefully every second week, and we'll continue to roll on through the second half of the season.
Don't give that away to the listeners. I can just pretend that I've been invited back because I'm doing a good job, not because it's written down somewhere that I have to do.
It's on the roster now. You can't back out. We've got everything happening. Round 11 is in the books. We're heading towards round 12. We've got some special guests, one very familiar with you, first off the rank.
Yes, Matt Parsons, the head coach of the Perry Lakes Hawks, after what was a brilliant game on Friday night. A brilliant night of basketball overall, and we'll touch on that a bit more as well. But the grand final rematch between Perry Lakes and Rockingham, and gee, it lived up to the billing. It was sensational, and Matty, because he's on the winning side of it, decided he wanted to chat about it, so we'll chat to him a little bit later.
Fair enough, too. And the girls' game, an exciting overtime as well on that Friday night.
Yeah, that was an amazing night overall. My first game of the week, broadcast of the season, and gee, what a game to jump on. Yeah, overtime in the women's game after Ellie Newman hits a three in the last 10 seconds to tie the scores when Perry Lakes hadn't scored pretty much for the entire quarter. And then, the overtime, they were just overpowered by a very, very good Rockingham Flames outfit. But that was a cracking game. It had kind of everything, the women's game. You know, it had some free-flowing scoring. It had some real lockdown stuff. And, and then the men's game just absolutely matched it and then some as well. It was such a great night.
An addition for coaches here on the NBL One West Radio Show, Vlad Alava, the women's coach over there at the Mandurah Magic, will join us as well.
Yeah, sitting in a decent position, looking to push inside the big three, as we're referring to it now in the women's competition, trying to make it a big four. And he certainly had some nice results lately and a big weekend coming up.
And there's been a few players joining teams at this sort of mid to back end of the season. We touched on the Perry Lakes Hawks. Jack Eisenbarger, of course, has joined them. You've also got the likes of Lee Roberts and Shaq Maharaj joining the East Perth Eagles. We'll be speaking with Shaq a bit later on as well.
Yeah, and he's a fascinating chat about how he came to be playing again for his junior side and so what his plans are from here on out, not only to do with East Perth, but with his career in general. Fascinating chat, that one.
And of course, your regular segments are back, the N1 and Fouled Out. Also, the layup / airball as well. We'll get to those before the hour is out.
Yeah, I nearly hit on both my layup and airball a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the airball was a very simple one, saying that the Southwest Slammers were going to have a tough night against the Joondalup Wolves in the women's. But I didn't hit on the layup. I said that Marty Nelson would hit 30. And when he had 20 at halftime in that game, I thought, you beauty, this is an absolute shoe-in and he's dominating. And then he was spent a lot of time on the bench in the second half because the Flames were winning and winning quite handsomely against Kalamunda, and he only hit 27 in the end. Right. So that one didn't quite come off. But I've got a couple up my sleeve this week that I think will be absolute winners.
In addition to the round 12 action this weekend, also a couple of those Centre of Excellence wildcard games coming up as well against the local teams.
Yeah, in the men's competition, the Rockingham Flames on Saturday night and the Willington Tigers on Sunday afternoon get their chance to see if they can win by enough. It's a big benchmark that's being set by Logan over in the NBL One North competition. And we'll see whether our teams can match up to it.
So what's the maths at the moment? The West Australian teams have to win by more than 25 points or something like that, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah. So so as it stands at the moment, Logan holds the biggest winning margin. They beat the Centre of Excellence team 105-80. So that makes them... It's a percentage points thing. So pretty much if you win by more than 25, you know, you're going to give yourself a pretty decent shot at it. It'll be very much mathematical from there. But yeah, that's a tough assignment. Beating this very good team that's only lost two games by more than 25 points. They lost that one to Logan and they've lost another one to Forestdale, which was by more than 25, which was only by two. So yeah, to win by more than 25 is going to be a tough one.
We'll be back with all of that and more across the next hour here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started. The all new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, all of your local basketball action. Jordan and Brett with you as we look back on the round that was. Plenty of action around our NBL One West. We had, of course, that grand final rematch that we touched on, and we'll chat about that a little bit further, and also with Matt Parsons as well before too long. I did notice a big, big game for Gavin Field at the Coburn Cougars, of course, 10 of 16 from downtown. A big score for him as well, and plenty of highlights if you want to check them out online.
Yeah, it's part of a 35-point night for him. So he hits the 1, 2, 3 from the stripe, and then, yeah, hits 10 from outside the arc. That's a ridiculous night. And, you know, when your team gets up by 10 points, you know, it's only 3 or 4 possession game. That's a big night, you know, and to hit it at that clip as well is just outstanding. And that's just Gavin Field doing what Gavin Field does when he's running hot. He's, you know, a guy who can absolutely put up points in this competition, and you know, he's one of the reasons that Coburn pushing towards that top four spot, you know, sitting just on the outside looking in of the top four. But with him and Carter Skaggs, gee, if they're both going at the same time, there's no reason that this Coburn team isn't a chance to push into that top four for sure.
We also touched on the Perry Lakes Hawks women going to overtime in the Friday night game. We almost had overtime in the Saturday night fixture between the Tigers and the Giants in the women as well.
Yeah, which is probably one that's a little bit of a shock, I guess, in the women's competition. You know, Goldfield's sitting outside the top eight, and Willerton are one of the powerhouse teams in the competition and the defending champions. So yeah, to push them that close and you know, really make a real game out of it. A two possession game in the end is an outstanding result for the Giants. And you know, the Tigers, they did throw a lot at them. You know, their scorers were still going. You know, Emma Gandini 15 points, Sam Lubke 25. You know, Alex Sharp and Taylor Hepburn both hit 11. And you know, Alex Sharp was still good on the boards with 7. Sam Lubke had 9. So it's not like their stars had off nights. It's just that Goldfields were absolutely able to match them all the way. Real decent spread of scoring across their 5 starters. And and you know they had a couple that were really dominant on the boards, and pushed them all the way. And you'll hear it in our chat to Vlad Alava later, but you know, they're a team that's desperate to not be on the outside looking in. They want to be taking that 8th and 7th position. They're 2 wins back at the moment, with, you know, about a third of the season to go for them. They look at a performance like that and say, I know it was a loss, but can we springboard that into something that pushes us into finals contention?
The men's game on the same night was also a cracker. The last 50 seconds was a frenetic period of time. Big double-double from Ollie Hayes-Brown, 25 points and some 16 rebounds, I think, from him as well. Fantastic effort, but the Willerton Tigers not quite able to get it done, and still outside that 8 kind of looking in.
Yeah, that's got to be a heartbreaker for them, because we talk about this bottom half of the top 8 in the men's competition being just super tight at the moment, you know, and any loss, you know, could potentially drop you outside of the top 8 and have you, you know, fighting for your finals lives towards the end of the year. And Willerton now dropped to 5-8. They're 2 games outside with 9 games to go. So it's not an impossible position for them to pick up from and, you know, and get themselves inside the top 8. But for Goldfields, conversely, that really does lock you in a little bit more. You know, you're 3 games clear of Willerton and 2 games clear inside the top 8 now, and part of a group that's sitting just on the edge of the top 4. So that's a crucial win for the Giants. And that one would sting for Willerton at home against a team that, you know, they need to be stealing the odd win against these teams. They can't keep just beating the teams below them, because there's not enough of them, unfortunately, to get enough wins to be in finals. So they would really have loved to pull that one out. But Goldfields, excellent job by them.
Well, looking now at your and one and fouled out, what was your highlights from the weekend?
Yeah, so my and one for the weekend, and both of these are going to come from the same game, unfortunately. I thought Friday night was just, it was a brilliant night. And the highlight of the night, we had an overtime game, so this states how much of the highlight this is. Marshall Nelson on Friday night was just exceptional. He followed it up on Sunday. So on Sunday was his lesser performance. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. That was his lesser performance of the weekend, because Friday night, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals. Was just a ludicrous, ludicrous player on Friday night. And a lot of that came in the 43-point push in the third quarter. They, for those who missed it, the Rockingham Flames scored 43 points in a quarter of basketball, and it was just, and 41 of those points came in 9 minutes, and I think 30 of them came in the first 6 minutes. It was just absolutely ridiculous. Marty Nelson was hitting bombs you know, from way beyond the arc. Devondrick Walker was going, but it was also the assist work that Marshall Nelson was doing. He was getting the party tricks going. He had between the legs assists. It was behind the backs. It was incredible to watch, and I would encourage anyone who didn't see that game on Friday night to get onto KO Freebies, get the replay, and watch the third quarter, because it was just stunning what the Rockingham Flames did. Now, they didn't come up with the win, but that certainly wasn't Marshall Nelson's fault, and I thought even though it was a loss for them, he was the best player in that game. It was incredible to watch, and I think that really pushed his case for MVP. I've seen the Flames a couple of times now, and we've sort of gone this Devondrick Walker versus Marshall Nelson, sort of, you know, whether they'll steal votes off each other. Devondrick Walker is exceptional at the thing that he does, which is shoot. He is exceptional at shoot. Marshall Nelson was exceptional across the court in every aspect on Friday night, and he has been in both the games that I've seen him live, and so that's why I think he's a better candidate for MVP than Devondrick Walker is, even though they're both outstanding candidates.
Well, certainly that triple-double speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. To see a triple-double like that, yeah, outstanding.
And how about the fouled out then from last round?
Now, the fouled out is staring at me across the desk. It's going to be not a player this week. Now, those who weren't in the arena wouldn't have heard this on Friday night, but you, Brett Costello, have borne a new nickname for someone on Friday night, because it was the first game that Jack Eisenbarger has played for the Perry Lakes Hawks on Friday night, and you'll hear Matt Parsons talk about it later in the show. All right, and on the announcements, as you do, you're the in-arena announcer, and gets to number 21 for the Perry Lakes Hawks, and I've never heard anyone call him this. I know he's on the game sheet as this, and I'm sure this is just an error of your eyes reading it, but John Jack Eisenbarger was who got announced over the PA. It was outstandingly funny, and I'm sure it wasn't intentional. It was just very, very humorous. So, yeah, you get my fouled out for the week, Brett, for not knowing who Jack Eisenbarger is.
I appreciate that. I just got to go with the information that's provided to me on the official
and
sheet.
In fairness to you, it did say John Eisenbarger on the sheet.
Did.
But
it
yes,
certainly did.
It was
yes.
Very, very funny.
On that note, I think we'll lead into Matt Parsons. He'll be joining us after this, the head coach of the Perry Lakes Hawks, here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett and Jordan with you. And as promised, this time on the line, it's the head coach of the Perry Lakes Hawks, Matt Parsons. Welcome along.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Probably not as good as you, though, after the grand final rematch last weekend against the Rockingham Flames. It does seem, and history would say, that the Hawks seem to have the Flames' number.
Oh, very happy with the result. Obviously, it's been a very inconsistent season, and you know, certainly things haven't gone to plan, and you kind of roll with the punches as you can. But I think when you start the season and you kind of look down the list of games and you see there's a grand final rematch and we get to have it at home, I think it's one of those ones you kind of circle and go, look, I can't wait. It's kind of self-motivating. The guys will always give themselves the best version and the best energy that they've got. And, you know, it was a pretty good game of basketball. It's probably, I mean, there's a pretty strong rivalry between those two clubs. We've played in some pretty big games over the number of years. But, you know, for a mid-year game, it had, you know, a big game feel about it. And I thought both teams played extraordinarily well. And it was a very high-quality basketball game and one we needed to win. And luckily enough, we're probably on the right end of it. And, you know, like basketball's a game of runs, we probably just managed to have our run at the right time because we saw just how dangerous that Flames team can be. That 43-point third quarter was unbelievable. And, yeah, if they can put a couple of them together, then they're never going to lose a game of basketball. So, yeah, fantastic team. It was a good outcome for us and, yeah, pretty happy with the weekend's results.
Certainly was a game of runs, and that 41-14 run or something that was against your favour was fortunately for you guys offset by a three good quarters of basketball. It strikes me that the Hawks always seem to match up really well with the Flames, and you've got your Ben Purser to match up on high, you've got Big Fergie matching up on Tom Jervis. Do you think that's one of the reasons for your success against the Flames?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, they're workhorses as well, and I think both of those guys that you mentioned, from our perspective, you know, they really pride themselves on trying to win their matchup. And Ben Purser doesn't lower his colours, you know, most weeks. He's generally going to be a standout performer for our team. And and Andrew Ferguson is just on the brink of exploding. I think he's going to be an amazing, you know, long-term professional in this competition. So when you kind of look at those things, that you know, they're going to self-motivate themselves and get up. And you know, when Greg Hire and Tom Jervis have accumulated, you know, a number, you know, a large number of NBL rings over the years, it's certainly one of those things that the boys got themselves up for. But you know, Greg, we see his motivation, and Tom, you know, they're playing with everything they've got as well. And I mean, that Devondrick Walker is an absolute star, and Marshall Nelson has just gotten better with his time in the NBL. And both teams were missing players and key players. Buff Godfrey wasn't there. Justin Beard missed the trip to Ben Datt. But you know, Ryan Smith and Nick Floyd, I think Ryan Smith's been really good in the last couple of weeks, and he'll certainly miss them on game night as well. So, look, I think it's grand final rematch is a big game in its own right. So, yeah, the boys certainly got up for it.
Matt Parsons, Jordan Scudetta, nice to speak to you. You know, it's been a while.
Hello, Jordan.
I want you to take me into your mind in that third quarter on Friday night. They're hitting 43. I heard you say after the game that, you know, you didn't get too down with your team at all because it was just one of those red hot quarters. Like, what's running through your mind, and then how do you then put a stop to that and come out in the last quarter, put the clamps on and come away with the W?
Yeah, look, it's really difficult. I mean, sometimes you're trying to stop a runaway freight train's, you know, difficult enough, and it's a hard prospect when, you know, one individual is going. But, you know, they had two guys going at the same time. Artie Nelson was, you know, splashing it from deep, and Devondrick Walker was going, and Tom Jervis was rolling to the bucket and creating mismatches. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to stop. But we kind of have some KPIs within the team in terms of, you know, contesting jump shots and, you know, staying in front of the offensive guy, not getting beaten by blow-bys. And we kind of ticked those boxes. We kind of, you know, came out of the quarter, even though they scored 43 points, we came out of the quarter with a really winning number in that area. And we thought that if we can just sustain that effort in trying to disrupt their rhythm a little bit, we could kind of get, you know, some of that measure back and maybe take some momentum our way into the last quarter. And, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're looking at a team going like this, and being hot is one thing, but being real hot is really hard, you know, to consistently do for 40 minutes. So we knew we were going to have a window, Jordan, and it was just a matter of us trying to find that recipe. And I think that sometimes when you're playing with freedom and you got nothing to lose and you can throw a little bit of the kitchen sink at it, you kind of play with that sense of freedom and go after the possessions in front of you. And sometimes when you get back in front, you tighten up a little bit. But I thought we did a really good job of riding that wave and making plays when it counted.
You're listening to the voice of Matt Parsons, head coach of the Prairie Lakes Hawks. We'll take a quick break here on the NBL One West radio show. We'll be back with more after this.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West. We're still with Matt Parsons, the head coach of the Prairie Lakes Hawks in the NBL One West.
Matt, I feel like we buried the lead a little bit in this interview because you have this brilliant new player coming on the court for you on a Friday night. Someone named John Jack Eisenbarger, who took the court for you. What kind of a difference does a guy like that make to your lineup?
Oh, he was exceptional. And I mean, you know, Jack arrived in Perth at 9 o'clock on Thursday night, met his teammates for the first time in warm-ups, believe it or not, and I had to learn everyone's name before he even put on a Hawks jersey. You know what I mean? He did that with the most, you know, amazing amount of professionalism and respect for the group. He got around, he learned everybody's name, and he just really endeared himself to what we were trying to do. And he brings an amazing amount of energy, and it's generally never internalized with him. He's always lifting other people around him. And, you know, he's been in our league for a long time, and he's been long admired probably by every club in the competition as being someone who's just a really good culture guy and somebody that you just want to be around. And, you know, he makes you know, every conversation that you have with him, you know, really change the mood of your day and really lift your spirits. And And I thought that he was going to have a pretty positive impact. I didn't realise he was going to have such a big impact in that game, and certainly from the minutes played. I mean, he was less than 24 hours off a plane, so it's very difficult to ask somebody to do that. But, you know, he wanted the competition. He was super competitive, and, you know, he's always in the right places when you need him to be. And I think he's going to add, you know, quite a lot to our rotations. He's probably created a little bit of better balance to what we're trying to do, and I'm really looking forward to actually having a training session with him this week and unpack some of the stuff we're trying to do as a group. But, yeah, he's a phenomenal basketball player, and yeah, we're very, very fortunate that he's sitting up in the blue and white of the Prairie Lakes Hawks.
You sort of had a player leave and then Jack arrived, as we've touched on already. What can you share from the internal machinations of the club about everything that came around in that transition?
Oh, look, I think most clubs would probably do a midway review and kind of map out where they're at and what they like, and, you know, who's performing, who's not performing. You know, the systems and the balances we've got in place, that they seem to work. And I think culture's a pretty big part of that as well. And you know, Adam was a really, really good guy, and he could certainly play basketball. And, you know, but he had a couple of, you know, pretty thorough conversations with him. And I kind of just, we just kind of felt as a group that maybe it wasn't the perfect fit for us and where we're at, obviously an underachieving team at that stage, or still, you know, being 6-6. So, yeah, look, Pete Barrow, the president, and I, we met with him and had a conversation and just laid it down, and we made a decision as a collective, all three of us, that maybe it was best to part ways. And Adam wanted to do that. It's a difficult call to make, Bretto. It's, you know, he's your top scorer, and certainly when, you know, he's probably the first name when everyone's scout report, you know, particularly this season, because not many people knew him, but he'd really adhered himself to what we're trying to do. And we made the hard decision, but you know, we're pretty happy with how it's played out, and we wish him best. And we know that he's going to pick up another contract somewhere. And yeah, we certainly wish him well. And I'm sure he's watching and watched on the weekend and was just as happy as a playing group. So yeah, look, it was just business, I guess, at the end of the day. But yeah, I think everyone's come out of it in better position, both player and coach.
7-6 at the moment, and sitting in eighth position. Matt, a couple of key games coming up. You got the Jack Eisenbarger grudge match this weekend, and then you've got a key matchup the following week as well, where you come up against Coburn on Friday night. Is this a point of the season where you chat to your guys and go, all right, this is where we have to get going and make sure we turn this ship in the right direction?
Yeah, look, I think that's probably the unsaid expectation from ourselves internally. I think we know we haven't been consistent. We certainly know we haven't been able to put the same roster on the park every single week. We've had a number of impacted areas. You know, we've had Lewis Thomas away for extended periods with his work, and the COVID's had, you know, I think it's wiped everyone out, you know, at this stage so far in the first half of the season. So, you know, we hope we get a little bit of luck and a little bit of consistency in that area. And, you know, we know that there's some games that we dropped in the first half of the season that we needed to win if we wanted to put ourselves in the best possible position. And now it just means we have games coming up that we have to win. It's not a need thing anymore. It's a have to thing. And, you know, hopefully we can string some wins together and get some momentum and have a crack at this thing. But look, the league has gotten, you know, really, really good. There's some amazing basketball players in the competition. The other clubs, the other coaches have done a fantastic job in lifting their standards after 2021. And, you know, it's probably last year, there's probably about four or five teams that could really compete. And this year, you know, you're talking about 10 teams at the moment that are all really pushing to cement finals positions. And, you know, no game is tough. And, you know, you can see the improvement in the Slammers and, you know, roster changes at the Eagles. And all of those teams are just going to get better as the season goes on as well. So there aren't many easy games. And I think every game's now, it has to be a win if you want to make a run of it.
Matt Parsons, head coach of the Prairie Lakes Hawks, thank you so much for your time on the NBL One West Radio Show, and we wish you and the Hawks the best for the rest of the season in 2022.
Thanks, guys.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Let's get this thing started. The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. It's your favourite NBL One West player's favourite radio show. Looking towards the weekend, a little bit light on in NBL One West games. We do have those Centre of Excellence matches as well to look forward to.
Yeah, so only the six games in the women's competition and a couple more in the men's across the weekend. It's, yeah, a little bit, as you said, you know, feels a bit light on compared to usual. We haven't got many double headers, but yeah, that's because of those two wildcard games that we've got in the men's competition on Saturday and Sunday, which should be absolute beauties as well.
But plenty of action, and it's shaping up as a little bit of a grudge match round in some quarters as well.
It is, yeah. So Friday night, we've got Perth Redbacks against the Rockingham Flames, and of course, it's the Marshall Nelson returns to Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre as a visiting player for the Flames. So that should be a lot of fun on Friday night to kick off the round. 6:30 for the women's, 8:30 for the men's. And, you know, particularly in the men's competition, the Redbacks are sitting just outside the top eight. So, you know, if they can sneak one against the Flames here and, you know, catch them in a down moment, which will be tough in the men's competition. But if it were to happen, could potentially draw them level on wins with Perry Lakes, you know, for that eighth position. And then, you know, it's sort of, you see how it plays out from there, whether you can get yourself a couple of harder wins. And, you know, the Redbacks in the women's, they're two wins outside at the moment with a game in hand on the Perry Lakes Hawks, who are sitting in eighth position. So, you know, there's something there for them as well. But in both cases, it's going to be a really tough assignment for the Perth Redbacks. It'll be a wait and see whether they can pull those off. But, yeah, certainly a bit of fun in the grudge match stakes there.
Well, there's another one to consider as well, of course.
Yes, there is. At Lakeside, as Jack Eisenbarger returns to Lakeside as a visiting player in only his second game as a visiting player in general. His second game for the Perry Lakes Hawks will be against Lakeside Lightning. And, look, Matty Parsons said that, you know, these are games that they just have to bank and have to win if they're to continue their push up into the top eight and secure their place in finals. So Jack Eisenbarger will be a huge part of it. And I'm sure, though, that Lakeside and their program will be keen to get one over an old friend if they can get the points there.
And if you had to pick a sort of a game of the round, so to speak, in both the men's and the women's, it's probably that Coburn Wolves fixture that really stands out.
Yeah, I'm actually really lucky that I've got the commentary call on this one on Saturday night. That's going to be a beauty. In the women's, Coburn feels like one of those teams that could knock off Joondalup up. You know, they're still sitting undefeated on top of the women's standings, and Coburn is a team that you feel like has the tools when they can produce it on any given night to knock off the Wolves. And so that should be a lot of fun to see whether they can do that. The likes of you know, Jesse Edwards and Jewel Williams, you know, using the basketball and driving that side forward, you know, coming up against, you know, the powerhouse that is Joondalup, Robbie Ryan, Nashea Parker-Williams, all those brilliant players that they do have up there in Joondalup. And it's going to be a beauty, that one. And then, yeah, the men's, it's jockeying for position. You know, this is fourth versus fifth in the men's competition. Coburn get the win. They're within one win of the top four and securing themselves that double chance in the finals. Joondalup get the win. All of a sudden, there's some serious separation between fourth and fifth, and the top four is sort of making their move and locking themselves in for finals as the home stretch comes on the year. So, yeah, that'll be two cracking games on Saturday night, 5:30 and 7:30. Looking forward to it.
Well, we know you like your predictions. Who's got it locked in for the layup, and who's going to be shooting the air ball?
So the layup, I've got it locked in, and this team's been incredibly hard to beat this year, as has been proven as they've toured around the country. But my layup lock for this week is that Saturday night, 6:30, the Rockingham Flames will beat the Basketball Australia Centre of Excellence side and give themselves a shot at the wild card slot. Not that they may need it. You know, they're a championship contender in this competition, so they may not need it, but I think they'll get the job done and pretty handsomely give themselves a shot at being the wild card team in the men's competition.
You're willing to commit to that margin?
Yeah, I think so. From what I saw of Rockingham for long stretches of that game on Friday night, they should be able to do, if they can reproduce anything like that at all on Saturday night, they will blow the Centre of Excellence team away. They are an outstanding unit. I know the Centre of Excellence team are also very, very good. But, you know, whether they travel over to the West particularly well and whether they go into the hothouse and do particularly well down there, time will tell. But I think Rockingham will beat the Centre of Excellence team pretty comfortably.
And who's shooting the air ball? Let's hope it's not a courtside announcer somewhere around the NBL 1 West.
Yeah, I might have to just cut them some slack this week. No, I think it's Lakeside Lightning. I think they're going to lose both their games this weekend. They've got back-to-backs they've got Perry Lakes on Saturday night, but on Friday night, they travel down to Eton to play the Southwest Slammers. I think the Slammers pick up their second win of the year in this one. Lightning have been struggling of late. I saw them play against the Suns a couple of weeks ago, and uninspiring, I think, would be the way I would put it. Even with the introduction of Donny Vaughan, they haven't really been able to produce. And it's a game that the Slammers would look at and go and circle it in the diary and go, here's one that we could win. They're traveling down on a Friday night a Friday night road trip for a Perth-based team, always a little bit tougher, you know, with other commitments and those sorts of things, they would have circled that and gone, they're coming into our house, let's give them a beat down. And I think they might just get the job done. So I think the Lakeside Lightning to lose both their games this weekend and give the Slammers their second win of the year.
Well, let's keep an eye on that and see how it plays out. We're still going to be speaking with Shaq Maharaj, and we've got Vlad Alava, head coach of the Women's Mandurah Magic, after this on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
2-0-1-5. Yeah, it feels so good.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back. It's the NBL One West Radio Show, this time turning our eyes and ears to the women's competition. We're pleased to welcome head coach of the Women's Mandurah Magic, Vlad Alava. Welcome along to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, things have been travelling along well for Mandurah, and I wanted to touch on your experience in 2022. Obviously, you joined the team kind of a little bit late in that pre-season for 2021. How have things shaped up differently for you this year, having that full pre-season and really getting to plan your squad and your strategies?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the biggest part of it is, as you said, that lead-in and having that that time to really work out what's the balance, what the needs were, what the wants were, and obviously having our sets and our style of play down pat early. So, yeah, correct. Last year, I think I came on board with less than a month before round one, just due to circumstances, as it were. So basically, as the record shows, we spent the first half of the year making an adjustment to how I coach and the girls understanding how I am as a coach, and obviously myself as well, understanding the talent that I had and the players that I had. But this time around, it's second time around the block. A lot of the girls that have come back are very familiar with how we want to play, how I coach, my coaching style, and obviously me as well. I'm much more familiar with, as I said, any of the talent that I have. So it has been markedly easier, significantly easier this time around.
There's a lot of talk about sort of a big three that's forming a little bit in the women's competition at the moment, looking at your Joondalups, your Warwicks and your Willertons. Now, I'm sure you'd like to put yourself in that big four. How do you see that sort of panning out?
Yeah, look, whether we become part of that big four or not, I guess it's completely, in many ways, dependent to how we play. The games that we've lost this year, and full credit to the opposition teams that have beaten us, but to a large extent, we've not played our best basketball, we've not presented the best way we can be as a team. And as I said, you've got to give credit to the really good teams, because when you do that, the really good teams punish you for it. Some other teams, you know, perhaps that not as deep, not as talented, you can get away with not, you know, playing 8 or 9 out of 10 and still winning. But for us to break into, as you say, and understandably so, that big three or even a big four, if it's to include us, is totally dependent on our standard of play and what we can control. And if we play the way we want to play, I've got no doubt that we should be right up there in the mix. But again, that's a scenario that seems to be game by game at the moment. So, but nonetheless, you know, certainly within our capabilities.
Vlad, I wanted to chat to you about the way in which you approach coaching a player like Casey Milo, who has so much experience at this level, games record holder, incredible number of years served at the club, and those sort of things, and still an incredibly productive player. When you come into a team like that, who has a player like that, how do you approach coaching that person, and what is she like specifically to coach?
I think, you know, when you come across people like Milo and the status that she holds in the game, obviously here in WA, and it's about understanding how that play operates. It's about understanding how to, you know, what makes that player tick. And full credit to Milo, when we first had a conversation, obviously we knew of each other, my time coaching around the league before I took some time off. But full credit to Milo, the first thing she told me was, Vlad, I want to be coached. If I don't do what you want me to do, if I don't do things properly, please let me know. I don't want anyone to be under any illusions that I guess in one sense, she wants to be treated like any other player. Which could be a bit hard, you know, considering what she's achieved and the level of player that she is and how long she's gone around the game. But to her credit, she makes it easy, fundamentally, because she holds herself to account and equally wants, not just myself, but even our whole coaching staff. She wants all of us to hold her accountable, just like every other player. So it does make it a lot easier. And look, you've obviously got to listen. You've got to listen to someone like Milo, because You know, she knows her body best. If she says she's a little sore, if she says she needs to shoot, if she says that she feels she needs to do something in terms of training, you've got to listen to that because, you know, for someone that's played at a level that she's played for an extent of time, she knows her body best. So it's a lot of listening involved as well.
You're probably lucky that she does have that attitude because it'd probably be quite hard to sub out a player when the court's named after them. It seems like it's some sort of an overall, Vlad, you do know this court is named after me. Like,
yeah, look, I mean, I just wish she was that arrogant, but she's not. She's the most humble person in the history of mankind. But nonetheless, I do use the Casey Milo show court as a means of when I'm trying to recruit players.
Okay.
Just to try and, you know, players who are not familiar with you know, obviously the type of player that they're going to be coming into. Well, certainly this year, when I'm trying to explain, you know, who manager has and whatnot, and you know, to try. I feel that there's no greater way to highlight someone's importance and significance and impact than when you say to a fellow basketball player, a professional, say, oh, and you're playing against one of the legends of the game, so much so that the show court is named after her, and yes, she's still playing, and yes, she was the best, one of the best point guards last year in the league. So when you sort of put all those things together, certainly the girls I spoke to that came across with us, who didn't know Milo, and obviously I'm talking about the three girls from overseas, you know, their jaws drop and their eyes, you know, open up nice and wide. So, but no, she's so humble. She's just an incredible human being, and I can't talk her up enough, to be honest with you, boys.
Heading into this weekend, Vlad, you've got a matchup against Goldfields, against the Giants, who are in a desperate situation of their own. You're talking about trying to be a part of a big four sort of setup at the top, but they're knocking on the door of the top eight and sort of need to make sure they win out from here to have a chance of that happening. You're on the road and going into, you know, into their barn. How do you make sure that you don't get that fatigue in the legs from the bus trip and you know, make sure that you take the W and are still pushing for that top four? What do you need to do?
Oh, look, I think ultimately it's about balancing the week, and in many ways even more so because it has been an extensive workload over the last 2 or 3 weeks, really, with the 4 games in 8 days, then obviously playing a tough game against Warwick last round, and then, as you say, the travel involved to going to Goldfields Giants. So we'll balance the week, make sure that we do our recovery properly, which we have been over the last 3 weeks anyway, through necessity more than anything else, with the games that we played. But yeah, as you say, it's really about just trying to make sure that there's plenty of give, plenty of power in those legs of the girls, and that'll be done through, you know, a balanced workload through the week, and perhaps just focusing on scouts and the finer things rather than repetition up and down the floor.
I was on the call for the Goldfield Giants game on the weekend against the Tigers, and they certainly pushed the Tigers right to the death knell in that game.
Yeah, look, I mean, certainly I'm yet to view the game, which obviously I will, but when I quickly had a look at the box score there, I was very impressed. I mean, you know, Willerton, Willerton's. We don't need to say too many more things about them because they're that good. And ultimately, for them to push them that close, and I know they're obviously in good form. They won their previous two before for this past weekend, but, you know, I think that shows the progress that they're making over there, you know, with the Giants, halfway through the season, match up against the defending champions, and to push them to 4 points, that's pretty impressive. So we certainly are aware of the challenge ahead of us, irrespective of how many games Goldfields have won. You know, we're expecting a tough clash, and anything less than what we need to do won't guarantee us victory. So we've got to make sure we show up and do the right thing.
Vlad Alava, head coach of the Women's Mandurah Magic, we appreciate your time. We wish you all the best for the weekend and for the conclusion of the season.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. And yeah, appreciate your final work on, you know, for all of us NBL One West fans.
Thanks so much, Vlad. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back. It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta with you this week. And as promised, on the line, we've got a recent East Perth Eagles returnee. It's Shaq Maharaj. Welcome along to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, three games under your belt in season 2022. I understand there's a little bit of a story about how you ended up back at the Eagles and also coming back off this injury. For those who may not be in the know, give us the lowdown. Why the Eagles and why you're back in Western Australia?
So I played for the Eagles growing up. They were my junior club, and every time I've played in WA, whether it was SBL or the West Coast Classic, it actually wasn't NBL one when I had played for East Perth previously. I'd always been at the Eagles, so that was kind of an easy transition for me to make if I was to enter the NBL one competition this season. But yeah, I was away in Europe attending a wedding, and I spoke to Justin King, who's at East Perth at the moment, and yeah, we were talking about some stuff, and before I knew it, he was persuading me to come over. And I know we've got some extra pieces in Lee Roberts and Diego, who had come in this week. So, you know, it looked like we were shaping up to be a pretty good team. And I thought, yeah, why not be a part of it? And obviously not have a gap in my resume and play before I look to make the move over to Europe.
Well, last season, of course, you were in the NBL One Central. Some people may have been keeping an eye on your progress over there. I'm always interested to ask, you know, the differences and the comparisons in the different leagues within the NBL One, of course. What's your impressions having spent time at each now?
Basketball in Australia is growing so rapidly, and we have so much talent. I think it's quite evident with the NBL bringing up a lot of guys from the NBL One. From all different conferences. So I think a lot of people discount certain conferences, but I don't think that that's correct. The Central Conference, I thought they had very good imports. So everyone that come in, whether they were American or an Australian from interstate, was very good. And I think the only difference I found with NBL One West and NBL One Central was just that the Central Comp uses less of their bench. So you might only have teams going six or seven deep with their players, whereas here I feel like you can bring your, you know, eighth, ninth, tenth guy onto the court and they're contributing fairly well. So I would just say there's more guys that can contribute in this league, but that's not to say that the talent isn't as good, because the imports over there, I would say, arguably are better than the imports here. And I think it's quite evident with, you know, guys like CJ Turnage and Cameron Coleman coming into the NBL One West this season. Those are guys that have come over from Adelaide, so you know, you can see for yourself that, yeah, there is talent.
You talked about, you know, yourself and Lee Roberts coming together and Sergio Diego on the roster as well. You've come into the Eagles mid-season when they're not having the best of times at the moment. Your first game before the start of it, they would have been 1-9 on the season, and obviously it's not an ideal spot to be in. Walking into a club like that mid-season, what were your first impressions when you got there? You know, what was the vibe like around the place?
I think it's similar to what it had been for the past couple of years when I was actually playing for them. You know, I think we were in a similar position on the ladder. I tried not to, you know, let that sway me or discourage me from, you know, the second half of the season. And obviously, I knew we had good pieces coming in, and that's kind of what was behind my decision. I think the only thing that we really lack is just chemistry. And, you know, coming in this year, there's a lot of unfamiliar faces, you know, like the main guys like Justin and Lee. Like, I know these guys, but a couple of the younger guys that we have on the roster, you know, I haven't spent too much time with them. So chemistry is one of those things. And, you know, being more of a veteran on the team and a leader, for these young guys, it's just kind of having to bring them along, and you know, they're gonna have to learn to trust me. We're gonna build that chemistry, and it'll just take time, I think. And unfortunately, time's not really on our side at this stage. But you know, if things go well and people are happy for the remainder of the season, you know, you could see this group come back together pretty much 100% and give it a good crack next year.
Yeah, so 9 games to go on this season for yourselves, and obviously that means that, you know, it's not completely impossible, but finals are highly unlikely at this stage for you. What are the goals then for the group for the rest of this season? You know, to try to get something out of the season. You talked about keeping the group together. What other long term goals does the squad have to get out of the rest of the 2022 season?
I think you know, there was a couple of losses early on in the season for the guys that shouldn't have happened, and so we might have a chance to come up against some of those teams again, and you know, give it another crack with the full squad. I think that'll help confidence-wise for us. I think we'll be able to see how we can play, or how well we can play, rather, when we are firing on all cylinders. And, you know, that confidence will play into everyone being happy and building chemistry. And then, you know, I think from that point on, it's really just to hoping that people are up to come back next season, and they aren't too discouraged by whatever our record ends up being, or you know, not making finals, or whether we even do make finals, you know.
Just getting back to you, we'll backtrack a little to your career. You talked about not wanting to have a gap in the resume in coming back here and wanting to play in Europe. Have you got your eye on anywhere specifically that you want to play in Europe? Is there any particular team or league or area, or are you keeping your options right open at the minute?
I'm keeping the options quite open at this stage. You know, I feel like going to London and speaking with my agent while I was over there, you just see how many guys are capable of playing overseas basketball and how many guys want to do it. And then you look at the amount of leagues, and you know, there's actually plenty of leagues in the world, but you know, to get paid well to be a professional basketball player, those spots are limited. So you know, for me, it's more about finding an opportunity where I can get in. May not be a huge contract, but somewhere where I can go in and prove myself. So it's going to be up to me once I'm in that situation. So I would be grateful for any opportunity. I know we've talked about Germany and Finland at the minute. So, you know, that's in the works. But again, right now I'm just focused on East Perth basketball and, you know, trying to make something of this season. I think people have a misconstrued view of playing professionally or even playing in the NBL or getting an opportunity in the NBL, whether it's as a roster guy or a development player. You know, coaches want winners. They don't really want guys that can put up numbers, because I'll tell you right now, and I'm sure you guys know, there's 25, 30, 40 guys in this league that can put up numbers, right? There's plenty of guys that can score, but it's more, can you play a role and can you contribute to a winning team? So if I can come in and, you know, show that we can put some wins on the board with me on the court, that's more valuable to me than scoring 20 points a game. Because, I mean, I've done that before. I've done it for years, but it just hasn't really got me anywhere. So, you know, that's my focus. And then once that all comes together, you know, taking whatever opportunity I can and just running with that and, yeah, hoping to success in the future.
Take me inside the mind of your agent, Jack, for a second, because I'm sure as your career's gone on and as you've got a little bit older as compared to your teenage years when you're an up-and-comer, the priorities for you in playing professional basketball change from, you know, opportunity, what's going to present me with the best opportunity to progress, to, okay, where can I, you know, where's the pivot from, you know, opportunity and getting minutes on the court to, okay, I'm looking after my future self here from a financial perspective or from a, you know, or from a playing a role perspective. And has your agent's advice changed to you over time, given opportunities that you've had as far as which one to prioritize? And have your goals, like your personal priorities, changed in that time at all?
I think, well, actually, funnily enough, I've just recently switched agents. I think my first agent was probably more geared towards getting me an opportunity in the NBL. And, you know, again, with this NBA draft that's come up, we've seen how much talent there is in Australia. So once you take out the imports and the special restricted players, it's very tough to earn a roster spot on an NBL team, and let alone playing actual minutes. And I feel like as a basketball player, I've learned that, you know, you only get better by playing. If you're there sitting on a bench or you're just training, you're really not doing much for yourself. I think you need to be out on the court and in the game and having that game experience to develop yourself as a basketball player. So for me, that changed, that focus changed, and now we're looking at the overseas market. To be honest, I'm 25 years old now. I really still think I have a lot to give to the game. When I'm back in Perth, I run my own private coaching business, and I'm also a strength coach, and I'm working on finishing my college degree, which was cut short because of COVID. So there's a few things in the works, but I think above all, basketball or playing professional basketball was a dream of mine since I was 5 years old. So for me, I've just got that in my sight, and I know that I'm going to reach an age, whether it's, you know, early 30s or even 35 to 40, and my body won't allow me to play basketball anymore. So instead of cutting that short on my terms, I would rather have my body cut it short for me, if that makes sense. You know, I want to just push, do what I love, play, coach, whatever it is along the way until I really can't go anymore. And then, you know, I can explore my options after that. And along the way, you know, as I said, with being a strength coach and with having my coaching business, there's things to fall back on. But yeah, money isn't really a priority for me. I know it's tough to turn down certain opportunities, because I've definitely had some opportunities along the way that could have been pretty lucrative. I've got some wild offers to go to China, really, really crazy. But just from a lifestyle perspective, chose not to. So yeah, financial is kind of in the back of my mind, and you know, pursuing my dream and being able to do what I love is at the front.
The voice of Shaquil Maharaj of the East Perth Eagles. Thanks very much for joining us on the NBL One West Radio Show. We wish you all the best for the back end of the season in 2022.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. And yeah, hopefully we get some wins.
Pleasure to speak with you. Thanks once again.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
The all new NBL One West Radio Show.
Bringing the NBL One West Radio Show to a close. Some fantastic chats with the likes of Shaq, Vlad, and Matty Parsons as well.
Yeah, three beauties and all interesting characters in their own right. And yeah, plenty of meat to chew in those conversations. A lot of fun.
A few things to keep an eye out for. I see the NBL One West MVP night, the sort of a BWA ball, I think it used to be called years ago or something, is coming up in August, 13th of August there at Crown. People can get tickets, basketballwa.asn.au. I did go a few years ago. You missed it last year when you were due to get an award.
I was going to say, I would recommend getting tickets to this one when people ask you if you want to go, because it might turn out that you win an award that you didn't know you were going to win and you're not there to receive it. And this is definitely not talking from very personal experience at all from last year whatsoever. No, it'll be a lot of fun. I always love awards nights, and you know, it was a personal circumstance thing that dictated that I didn't go last year, but missed out on a heck of a night. They're always a lot of fun. You know, any Fairest and Best or awards night is always great. You get to see people let their hair down a little bit and you know, chat to some great people who are very passionate about the sport that you're passionate about. So yeah, I would recommend to anyone to get along.
Supposedly the men's and women's MVPs will be crowned that night, hosting by Ross Woolman, I believe, as well. So it should be a good night.
Absolutely, yeah. He'll be a cracking host. Always a lot of fun to hear on the mic. He was the voice of the in arena for the grand finals last year, so yeah, we'll do a great job again, no doubt.
Big news, of course, Rockingham's own Luke Travers with the big draft news.
Yeah, absolutely, going to the Cleveland Cavaliers, pick 56 in the draft. So second round, not guaranteed a roster slot in the NBA, but will be a part of the organization, potentially play some G League, and you know, there is the chance that he might come back to Perth and play his trade with the Wildcats if that's what the Cavaliers decide is best for his development. So that's a bit of a wait and see on that slot, but yeah, fantastic news for Luke Travers, and great to see the pathway through basketball here in Perth is still very strong.
Did notice Basketball WA during the week advertising an employment opportunity for the NBL One West League manager, which obviously reports to Adam Bowler, the general manager of basketball operations there. So obviously seeing some expansion there in the NBL One West and creating a new role.
Well, it is the most participated sport, the biggest sport by participation in Australia at the moment, so across the ranks. So yeah, I'm not surprised that there's been expansion of need for a role like that. And look, you get to work with some brilliant organisations across Perth and across Western Australia to bring what is a great sport to so many people.
If you'd like to check out any of the games happening, whether it be at your local association or even online, you can look at them at nbl1.com.au/west or download the NBL1 app. And what's that KO game of the round as well this week?
It's the Warwick Senators against the Southwest Slammers. Ben Pether's back on the call this week. Friend of the show, of course. Regular co-host Ben Pether, who's back on the KO game of the week. Catch that one on KO Freebies on Saturday night. Yeah, the Southwest Slammers getting a run on KO Sports, so no doubt they'll be bringing their their absolute best to Warwick Stadium.
Okay. And the KO freebies have often been a Friday night game, I felt. This time, Saturday, though.
Yep, Saturday this week. Yep, yep, bit of a change-up. It's typically a Friday night, but they've decided that, we'll get the change-up in there. And look, I'm sure the teams would love the Saturday night lights and having the KO broadcast there. It's always a lot of fun. I reckon I see a lot of players when they see that they're on the game of the week, they just go and visit the hairdresser on the Friday and just get the little bit of a spruce up. The fades are all working nicely for them in the men's competition. Yeah,
looking
absolutely.
Fresh.
And you got to be when you're on the big platform like KO, you got to be looking your best.
Well, Jordan, thank you once again for your input on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Thank you, Brett. Great to be here again, and look forward to doing it all again in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, catch you in 2 weeks.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.